Mark read that passage, you know, that through things that God has made, His eternal wisdom, His Godhead, His power is clearly seen. Just look at all those beautiful flowers. You just think all that happened. Just somehow through a process of evolutionary change, it decided that it would give us all the beautiful, unbelievable flowers that beautifies our earth and the world in which we live in today. Only a fool would say there is no God. A fool is a person who acts contrary to reason, goes in direct opposition to what he knows to be true. And as it read, and as you read Romans 1, it says that they take the truth, turn it into a lie, the aspects of that. But we've been looking at Proverbs. I don't know how many of you have been reading it, but I've been breaking it down into a series of looking at it from subject forms. The inner man. Today is the upright man. You know, the evolutionist has us all stooped over. And then through time, we got a little more erect. And then we got upright. But anyway, every civilization that has ever lasted very long, its literature is filled with what they have depicted or what they look at as a model of a respected, dignified concept of manhood. Every civilization. Homer, to the Greek civilization, gave several models of what they considered and what it was considered as respectable aspects of being a man, an upright man. And in doing so, these individuals are supposedly to be model roles for the younger men of the Greeks as well as any other civilization. That was their purpose, to be a role model. Wow, just think of what we got today. We got Superman. We got Spider-Man. We got the Hulk. I mean, what do we have to give to our young people today as a respectable concept of a model, as a role that our culture, our civilization, our young people can look at and say, that's the kind of man I want to be like. I want to be an upright man like he is. Well, you know, we got Batman and we got all these. Who in our civilization today is set apart from all other as an example to our culture, to our young people, as a role model that is an example of being an upright man? Now, we know Proverbs 31 talks about this virtuous, worthy woman. How generous she is, industrious, and all the other aspects of it. It's a beautiful chapter as it identifies and looks at how a husband respects her, the children honor her. She's known throughout her society as being a woman that is just unbelievable. But nowhere in Proverbs does it point out any one particular chapter or concept to define what makes a person upright. I know I'm looking at it from a man's standpoint because Solomon wrote the book to his sons, okay? But these principles, I believe, is applicable to all of us, male or female. But even though I look at the word man, I hope that you understand many times the man is a general term referring to all of us in subject matter as far as that is concerned. So as I read through Proverbs, I see here and there, concept, and a concept that I believe that Proverbs would indeed point out and say is a, if you will, a virtue that points out to what an upright man would be. What type of characteristics would he have within his individual life, or a woman, as it might be, and as we look at it. And so the counsel I see given to Solomon, a man of wisdom, to his sons, is the hope that they would become upright. And what they would become upright, of course, number one, is they would become wise, right? It's a book of wisdom, right? It's a book of Proverbs that basically states certain concepts that are very... My granddad was in... And you know, I quote him a lot, you know? People think by the inch and things of that nature. Then they walk by the yard and they need to be moved by the foot. I mean, he had different proverbs, I remember, in speaking in relationship to that. And the one I like better than anyone else is smooth seas don't make good sailors. It's rough seas that make good sailors. Things of that nature as far as life is concerned. But in Proverbs, you'll find that he talks about the wisdom. He talks about humility. He talks about self-control. He talks about, if you will, many different aspects that points out what would be found in a person who is walking upright in their individual life. So let's just look at them. And I believe I've covered them pretty basic in the book itself, all right? And Agoras, let's just look at the first one. The first one is wisdom. Now, if you read the book, where does wisdom come from? Where does it come from, Chuck? Well, it comes from God, okay? What I found is, as I grow older, I talk less, but I say more. I talk less, but I say more. What I do talk about is things that are important. All right? And the book is a contrast, if you will, the whole book, between a man who is wise and a fool. And there's no question about it. The fool is going to be emphasized over and over in the element of the book. But a man who is wise in himself is a man who, I believe, has reached the highest quality of what could ever be desired. You and I should desire to be people of wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is not having knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to take the knowledge you have and be able to properly discern it and use it in a proper way. There's a lot of educated fools today. They got a lot of knowledge, but they don't have wisdom. They don't have common sense. They don't have the ability to take what they know and properly apply it to the life for the benefit not only of themselves, but for society, for everyone. A wise man's counsel will have a positive impact on not just himself, but upon everyone. Doesn't matter who hears him or listens to him, their lives will be better as a result of what they hear him say. The highest desirable quality in a man, whether he's a father, a friend, or a businessman, or a boss, or whoever he is, that he is a man of wisdom. That he's accomplished and has acquired wisdom. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." So if I'm going to have wisdom, I need to understand that it's God who gives it. You're not going to learn it in a class. You might learn knowledge there, and you might become educated and have a doctor's degree, but you may be in the quality of what Proverbs will talk about, is you may not be very wise. You may be a fool. Solomon ended the book of Ecclesiastes, where it talked about many, 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 many books, if you will, are worrisome. But the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God. If you look at the first chapter of Proverbs, it talks about it is the fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom. It's the foundation that allows a person to have wisdom given to them from God. Well, I believe we're living in a culture today that doesn't have a lot of fear of God anymore. I was raised in the fear of God. I was. My mom used to remind me over and over and over again that maybe she doesn't see what I do, but God does. Maybe you weren't raised that way, but I always believed that there was a God, and I always believed that God heard every word come out of my mouth, so everything I did, doesn't matter what it does, I did, and I was raised to believe and have a fear of God in my heart. Okay? Fear of God is that I'm going to be held accountable. Not to my folks, but to Him. I'm going to be held accountable to God. My responsibility as a father was not to raise my children so that they feared me. My responsibility as a man was to share and give them and help them to come to a fear of God. That they were going to be held. I don't see everything they did. I don't know all that they did, but God did. I did. I'll never forget Corey coming home one night after she had snuck out and gone somewhere she shouldn't. The car didn't start. So I went over and had to start the car for her. And when I got there, it took off. Boom. Right now. She got home. I didn't have to do a thing. She said, God really knows how to get you, doesn't he? Yeah, he does. Okay. So God gives wisdom. If you're going to be wise and you're going to have wisdom, then you need to know who's going to give it to you. You're not going to get it from a professor, nor a preacher, or anyone. You're going to get that wisdom, and it's a direct gift from God. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he will give it to them unmeasurable, unbraided, meaning that we need to know that wisdom comes from God, and we need to be seeking it. We need to be asking him for it. If you're a parent, you ought to be on your knees continuously asking God for wisdom of how to work and direct and guide your children in the fear of God, in the aspects of it, in every aspect of it. I really believe that Proverbs 3, 5, and 7 should be the foundation of every one of our lives. If you're going to read Proverbs, you don't want to read the rest of it, just memorize Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Make that the foundation of your life and make it the counsel of your life. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will guide, direct your path. He'll guide your steps, however your translation may have. He'll guide you. And I believe that in our culture today, if there's anything that is needed, is for people to be under the guidance of God and that he is directing their steps, guiding them in everything they do and in their whole lives. James 1 again says, if you lack wisdom, ask. You see, Solomon could have had anything. God said, ask whatever you want, I'll give it to you. But Solomon knew, and Solomon asked for that one basic ingredient of life that he knew was necessary if he was going to be the upright man he needed to be as the king of Israel. He asked for wisdom. When's the last time you did? When's the last time you actually, honestly asked for God to give you wisdom to deal with whatever problem, situation, people, circumstances, whatever? When I was working and still do, man, I had a lot of situations at our van and our farm bureau. People got upset, you know. I mean, they did get mad and they were whatever. And before I let people come in my office, I always got down and said and prayed to God, Lord, you know the words I need to say. You know how I need to handle this situation. Give me the wisdom to do so. I guarantee you, he did it 100%. He did it 100%. I never lacked for words to say that resolved the issue. And I still pray for wisdom and handling, dealing in these situations in life. And I believe God gives it. I believe he is honestly a God who wants to give his people wisdom. And if I know it's from him, I know the major foundation ingredient that is going to give it to me is I fear him. I respect him. I honor him. I know who he is. I know his power. I know what he's capable of doing. And I know he loves me. And there's nothing God needs more in this world today than men in the church and women who are living upright lives, guided and directed by his hand through the avenue of wisdom. Wisdom. Secondly, the upright man is humble. He is humble. Okay? My granddad used to say, you either stay humble or you're going to stumble. Isn't that interesting? Very simple little thing. Stay humble or stumble, right? But humility is strange, you know, because the minute you think you're humble, you just lost it. You know that? Well, I'm the most humble person you'll ever meet in your life. All right, think about it, okay? But this virtue today is despised, and it always has been. Did you hear what I just said? Humility is not contained within the desire of man's heart. He doesn't want to humble himself. He wants to be the top dog. He wants to have authority and power and control. And you can't have that if you're going to have that type of mentality. You can't. You cannot. Humility is a proper sense, I believe, of one's weaknesses, but also of their strengths. It is an understanding of your limitations, but also of your potential. Knowing and understanding what God has granted you, His talent, His ability, and all that you have, and being able to hold it in a proper perspective of that it is a God-given gift. That it is not your gift, it is God-given. Proverbs 25, verse 6 through 7 says, "Do not claim honor in the presence of kings, and do not stand in a place of quiet great men. For it is better that it be said to you, 'Come up here,' than that you be placed lower in the presence of the prince whom you have seen." James talks about the same thing. A rich man walking into an assembly and a poor man. Taking the rich man, setting him up in the front seat, and the poor man in the back seat. And he asked the question, "Are you not showing respect or partiality?" Partiality is a sin, and God is no respecter of persons. You know that, don't you? So humility is a proper concept of your abilities, your strength, and whatever. But whatever you see your strengths as, and your gifts, and your talent, then you give God the glory for it. You thank Him for it. Thank you, Carol, that God has gifted you. Amen? Thank you, Dave. God has gifted you. I couldn't do what he does. I don't have to. I'm a part of the same body he is. So Dave's talents is my talent. I can play the piano. You know that, don't you? I play pretty good, don't I? Don't I? You don't know. Yeah, you do. You hear my hands all the time. Do you not know that we are members of the same body? There's no reason for any of us to be thinking more highly of ourselves and puffed up because her talents are my talents. Her gifts are my gifts. God has gifted us as a body, and we should thank God for the abilities that everyone has within the body. There should be no jealousy, no envying, no coveting. We are one body in Christ, and thank God He's gifted people in different ways to make us a whole body. Get it? And if we don't have that perspective, you're going to have a body that is going to be filled with people who are puffed up, who think more highly of themselves, who want the chief seat, who are going to be fighting and walking over people to get there. We've had them here. We have people who have no concept of what it means to be humble. Proverbs 27:2 says, "Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips." And I've sat and listened to men brag about how good they are at work and how people listen to them and how great they are and how respected they are and all the great things they're capable of doing and on and on and on. And when I hear people talk like that, I know immediately the spirit they have. And it's not the spirit of God. It isn't. Don't ever brag and talk about yourself. Don't. Build yourself up with your own lips. If people want to say something good about you, then praise God for that. Let a stranger do it, if you will. You know what he said? You know what he said? It's interesting, isn't it? In this narcissistic world, how many people always are talking about themselves? All about themselves. All about me, how good I am, and what I do, and whatever else. On and on. We're all familiar with these verses. Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling." Proverbs 22:4, "The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." But the urging of our day, and this is not and doesn't escape the church and preachers and every other person, is to be number one. It's number one. To have a name out there in the highlights that everybody knows. Do whatever you have to do. I want to be number one. I want to have this. I want to do this. I want to be this, and on and on. And people push, they climb, and they work, and they work, and they'll walk over anybody that gets in the way to reach that goal. They do.
I've seen it. I've experienced it. And it troubles me that one of the major ingredients of being an upward person is being humble. Remind yourself, 1 Peter 5 and 6. 1 Peter 5 and 6 says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in proper time. So if you're going to be lifted up, if you're going to be exalted, to be used of God, then let Him do it. In His time, proper time, He will exalt them. He did Joseph. He did Daniel. He did Ruth. He did it to all those that are in the context of Scripture. Humility. Another one is justice. An upward man is a just man. And we're lacking that in our politicians today. The reason this country is decaying is not for any other reason but because of the injustice in our court system, the injustice in our lobbying means and money that is being used to bring about and cause people to make decisions and do things and whatever. But justice has to defend the poor and the weak and the unfortunate. God's word, Proverbs, emphasizes that over and over. The poor will always be with us. But when you have a welfare state and things of that nature, you're not helping poor people. You're inhibiting them. You're causing them to become lazy and not want to take their hands and put it to work and become better than what they are and et cetera, et cetera. And the injustice that we're doing to people today in our country today involves so many, many, many different avenues of life. Being fair, being impartial, being level-handed, not overhanded. There are those who have trouble with being just. Listen to these from Proverbs. Are you listening? Proverbs 16:11. A just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag are His concern. You know that when you get a box of crackers and it says 8 ounces, are you sure there's 8 ounces in it? Have you ever taken it home and weighed it? My wife says, you know, Bill, she says, these boxes are smaller. And yet it says on there the same thing it did before, and on and on and on. So we've taken them home and weighed some of the stuff. You know what? There's not 8 ounces in it. There's 7 ounces and 0.2. Huh? You see, God sees every measure, every scale that man is doing out there to steal and to take money out of your pocket. You know that? Huh? A just man, an upright man, would make sure that if it says 8 ounces, there would be 8 ounces in it, period. There would be nothing taken from the people that are going to be purchasing whatever it is they're purchasing. And I'm telling you today, it'd be well for you to just take some things and weigh them. Just see if you're really getting your money's worth, if you will. Because it's interesting how God says the scales, the measuring, et cetera, are mine, and He's going to judge them someday. Back when they used to have the scales, you know, and stuff of that nature, they used to catch them all the time, adjusting the scales and making it weigh more or less however they wanted it to. Proverbs 28:5 says, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understands all things. You hear what he just said? Evil men do not understand being just, but the righteous understand all things. Proverbs 21:15, the exercise of justice is joy for the righteous, but is terror to the workers of iniquity. It scares them. They're frightened to death of being just. That's what it says. That's what it says. I worked for a Christian man in a pickle company where they used to bring them into the thing and they'd take them and number one pickles and whatever else, et cetera, et cetera. His name was Claire Beach. He was an elder of the Church of Christ. And I'm telling you, that man was as just as any righteous man I ever known, because there was never, never, ever once was his scales not correct. He would go out of his way to make sure that when he weighed the number one pickles or number two or whatever, they weighed exactly the way they were supposed to. That's where I learned justice. That's where I saw honor and respect in an upright man. What model roles do we have in our culture today of an upright man? Because an upright man knows Proverbs 21 and 3. To do righteousness and justice is desired by the Lord more than sacrifice. To be upright and to do justice to God is better than any animal, any sacrifice that is ever made. Is God just? He sure is. And we need to be upright and just. Those are just three. I have more. But what are they? An upright man is a man of wisdom. An upright man is humble. An upright man is just. Think about it in your own personal lives and our lives and my life. Do I honestly seek for the wisdom that comes from God? Am I really, truly, in my spirit, conferring other people better than myself? Or do I try myself to exalt my own self? Or am I continuously realizing that God, if He wants to, will exalt me in His time? It's not me. I don't have to do it. God will do it when He's ready to. And that I need to make sure that I'm just, that I have no impartiality, that I'm fair, I'm not underhanded, I treat people the same. I don't care who they are. I don't care whether they're educated, uneducated, poor, it doesn't matter to me. If you're a person and you are a creation of God, then I know that God intended for you and me to love one another equally and not to be partial. Not to put one person above other people. Not to exalt people within the body. Only to give honor where honor is due. You know that, don't you? And to be thankful for those people who God has gifted. Not to be envious. Not to be every way, shape, or form jealous of their talent and their ability. Not at all. None of you. Can make brownies like my wife does. Now, I can be partial there, right? Right? Yes, because everybody that eats her brownies say the same thing. Even her children have their same recipe. And they try to make them to turn out like mom does. And they can't believe it never does. Why is that? Well, I believe it's the touch of the master's hand. Right? And I believe that's all true with all of us. We are who we are because of the touch of the Master's hand in our lives. We are His creation. We are made in His image. We need to give glory to God in everything we do. But God help us to seek His wisdom. God help us to be humble in our spirit. And God help us to be just in everything we do. Period. Okay? Let's stand together. We're going to sing our closing hymn, if you will, and have thy own way, Lord, because that's where it comes down to, is simply humbling ourselves before God and asking Him to have His way in our lives. Amen? Have your own, do it prayerfully. Ask Him truly to have His own way in your life.